You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
As it is a football Friday, as it is an FF Friday, we got Shador's first start in the NFL on Sunday. And to talk about that, to talk big picture NFL as well, and get some insight on this Raiders team. You know him as the host of the Just Win podcast. You know him as a senior writer for The Athletic. Ted Wynn joins us now on the Fan Hotline. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you here. How much does this being Shador's first NFL start add to this game, considering that it's two bad NFL teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does add to the intrigue, considering Shador did want to go to the Raiders, and they passed up on him a bunch of times, so that's kind of a storyline as well. But, you know, like, I'm sure you guys know way better than I do, but, you know, he's the most hyped, talked about fifth-round quarterback, maybe, in history. So there's going to be a lot of eyes to see if he's going to be able to perform better than he did last week with a full week of practice. And, you know, he's in a good spot. I mean, the Raiders defense is not the worst in the league, but they're definitely levels below the Ravens. So, you know, maybe he has a better shot to perform in this game than when he was thrusted into that role against the Ravens.
All right, you're the king of the All-22. What did the All-22 tell you about last week, and what has it told you in the past about Shador, and how much of that can we move forward to this week?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we saw a lot of the negatives in his scouting report really show up against the Ravens, especially his tendency to kind of drift backwards and take those, you know, what I call super sacks, not just sacks, but sacks that lose a lot of yardage. So that wasn't good to see. And obviously the Ravens, they run a lot of complicated blitzes, and they were throwing the kitchen sink at him. So I think for the Raiders, they really want to try to create interior pressure against Shador and get him to kind of fall back into, his bad habits, which is retreating backwards. And you know, we saw a really nice deep ball he threw that could have been caught, that might have tied the game for the Browns as well. So I think, you know, the Raiders have to watch out for the deep ball. And, you know, he throws a really nice fade ball, and that's where he would want to go to. But they have to find some ways to create interior pressure against Sanders. They don't have a natural answer there because they don't really have great defensive tackles. So they might have to scheme up some interior pressure. And Patrick Graham is a guy who likes to blitz in his past, but in this version of his defense in which he's kind of working with Pete Carroll and kind of integrating some of his ideas, he hasn't blitzed as much, so it'll be interesting to see if he kind of goes back into his roots and dig up some of those cover zero blitzes.
Ted, how do you beat this Raiders team?
Just show up. No, okay. The biggest weakness is their offensive line right now. It was a weak point coming into the season. Then they lost Colton Miller, and then they lost Jackson Powers Johnson. There's a bunch of shuffling going on. They moved the guy that they moved to center originally over to guard. They have Putnam in at center, who had one of the worst games I've ever seen from offensive lineman last week. So if you can create pressure and get to Geno Smith, then, you know, he's going to have a tough time really getting going. And we know the Browns have one of the best four-man rushes in the league. I really don't know how they're going to block Myles Garrett at all. So if you could do that and you could try to create some explosive pass plays, a major weakness is that left corner, Eric Stokes, the right corner, is having a really good season. But Caillou Blue was their original starter there. He got benched after getting destroyed by George Pickens, so they have a rookie, Darian Porter, likely a start in that game. So if you could create some explosive against him and continue to pressure Geno Smith, and the run game, you know, it's just a non-starter right now. Like, they can't get anything going in a run game. They lead the league in negative yardage. So pressure Geno, create some explosives, and attack that left corner would probably be a big part of the game plan.
How much do people put on that with Ashton Jeanty just not being as good as people thought, or is it just all an offensive line problem, or do we have to meet in the middle somewhere?
To me, it's an offensive line problem, because when they have blocked for Jeanty and he had space, we've seen his ability to break tackles. I believe he's top five in broken tackles right now. So he's breaking tackles at a high rate, but it's just hard to do anything when you can't get going. He's getting hit in the backfield more than any other back in the league. So it's just unfortunate. Like, the idea or the maxim was always, don't draft a running back before you have the offensive line, and that's played out to the extreme this year, because he can't get anything going.
All right. How much of this is on Chip Kelly? Obviously, he's the highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL. Buckeyes fans remember him well from the 1 year he had as the OC last year, and yet it feels like he might be one and done in Vegas.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's all on him. It's unfair to judge him based on how bad the offensive line is, but I will say that I do have my criticisms of his scheme as well. And, you know, I kind of told myself I would never believe in an offensive coordinator coming from college to NFL again. And I played myself by letting myself believe it in Chip Kelly. Because, you know, I was looking at some stuff he did at Ohio State, and it's like, this feels like a pro offense. I think it'll be able to translate better. He had pro experience, obviously, with the Eagles and the Niners. So maybe he learned his lessons, but a lot of the things that plague college offensive coordinators, it's happening with Chip Kelly. I mean, with the protection, obviously the offensive line has struggled, but he hasn't helped out the offensive line at all. Like, the Raiders are one of the teams that are high up there in as far as leaving their tackles on islands. There's games where he just allows Brock Bowers to disappear. So he has to find better ways to get the ball into his best receiver's hands. Pete Carroll has made comments in the in press conferences, kind of criticizing the play calling. He said last week it was his idea to go heavy play action early. So those are some bad signs. So it's hard to put it all on Chip Kelly, but there's definitely some drawbacks with Kelly and his play calling.
Yeah, I mean, we're a disaster here, but like, I think it's easy to say that you guys have been just as much of a disaster. Like, where were the expectations for this Raiders team going in? You know, Pete Carroll, Geno Smith, it had to have been better than what it is right now.
For sure. I mean, I think there was a lot of cautious optimism with the Raiders. I mean, you know, when you look at Brock Bowers and the season he had coming into the season, and you can see the flashes. Like, he is a top three type of tight end, and the league is kind of moving towards multiple tight end sets. They have two really good ones in Bowers and Michael Mayer, and you have Ashton Jeanty, who some thought was the best offensive player in the draft. Geno Smith was, you know, a lot of film watchers love Geno Smith, including me. I thought he did really good in Seattle. He comes over here and, you know, he totally turns into a pumpkin. And I think the expectation was that the offensive line would at least be average, but or at least below average, but not terrible. But it's gone the complete opposite way. And Chip Kelly has been a disappointment as well. So when you mix those two things in, and Geno and his interceptions, it's been far below what the expectation was for this offense.
Ted Wynn of The Athletic and the Just Win podcast on the Fan Hotline. Given that Tom Brady and Shador Sanders have a relationship, given the Raiders were in need of a quarterback, the Raiders and Shador were linked often in the pre-draft process. Obviously, he didn't go there. How close do you think Shador actually ever became to being a Las Vegas Raider?
It didn't seem like it was likely to me because they did talk about scouting Shador and evaluating him closely, but they had plenty of chances to pull the trigger on him, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth rounds, and they didn't. So I really don't think that they liked him as a prospect, you know, or else they would have pulled the trigger on one of those rounds. They needed a quarterback. And so probably not as close as some people thought based on that Tom Brady link. And Brady does definitely have a voice in this Raiders front office, obviously.
How do you explain Myles Garrett being this good this year? We've always seen him be great, obviously, but this is even another level, Ted.
It just seems like he's stronger. Like, you know, he's been kind of pulling off that Reggie White hump move and just like tossing offensive tackles off of him, kind of like he looks like a NFLer against high schooler sometimes. So it's just crazy to see that he's taken his game to a next level. I think it also helps that this Browns defensive line is just higher quality all across the board. So it's harder to kind of just focus everything in on him. And he's probably getting, you know, I'm curious to look at the numbers, but it seems like the other teams aren't able to double and triple him as much as they have in the past, which is leading to these crazy numbers and potentially, you know, 25 sacks for him at the end of the year.
All right, given the state of the Raiders' offensive line, given the state of the Browns' defensive line, if I set the over-under on sacks for Myles Garrett on Sunday at 1.5, would you take the over or the under?
I would say over. Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to line up on the left against Stone Forsyth, which is one of the worst left tackles in the league, I imagine.
It's a great
name,
even though.
Even against DJ, what was that?
That's a great name, though. Stone Forsyth. Yeah. That guy should be like a weatherman.
I know, but unfortunately, he just doesn't live up to it. But DJ Glaze is also terrible on the other side. So, I could definitely see him passing that. I mean, I can't imagine the Raiders running the ball effectively. So they're going to have to pass, which opens up more opportunities for Garrett. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy that 1.5 sacks is over-under for a player, and I kind of saw the odds on different betting websites, and it's like minus 150, 160, so it's crazy. Yeah, Garrett is going to have a crazy game.
What other players on this Browns team do you like? Do you feel like it maybe don't get enough attention, maybe we don't talk enough about, but when you watch the film, because you just love the All-22, you're like, this guy constantly pops out to me.
I'll say Devin Bush, because I really loved Bush coming out of the draft, and obviously he did the beginning of his career. He didn't live up to expectations. So just watching him and watching him thrive in this defense is fun to watch. And it also, you know, kind of makes me right after all these years. So it's good to watch him play well.
All right, so I'm sure we've covered this in some way in the 75 questions we've asked you, Ted, but I did see that you had retweeted the Deontay Lee piece on trying to separate Shador from the hype from Shador, the football player. So I guess going all the way back to the beginning, do you think Shador is a true fifth rounder, or do you see some upside with what he can be in the NFL?
I don't think he's a fifth rounder. I had a second round grade on him. But I could see him going to third round as well. But obviously, I think when you are in that kind of tier as a quarterback, and then the things that surrounded him coming into the pre-draft process, you know, it's easy to see why he fell to the fifth. So I would say, you know, he was probably a second, third round grade type of quarterback that had obviously a lot more skill than a typical fifth round quarterback, and a lot more experienced than a fifth round quarterback as well. So there is something there. I don't know if the Browns have the environment really to support any young quarterback at this point. So to answer your question, I do think he's a much better than a typical fifth round quarterback.
Dad, how do you make sense of what's going on in the AFC right now? Patriots are leading the East, the Steelers leading the North, Colts leading the South, and the West is led by the Broncos. Those are four teams I think most people wouldn't have had leading their divisions.
No, and it's interesting. I think all four of those teams have some pretty big flaws and question marks as well. The AFC is pretty wide open this year. I kind of still think the Chiefs might end up – I mean, they're probably not going to lead the division or anything like that, but I think they might end up in the AFC championship game when it's all said and done. And it's just they do so many things well on offense, and they have some really unlucky breaks, and their defense is still a quality defense. I think the Patriots, obviously, Drake May is carrying that team, doing a lot of the work. The defense is improving, but they really don't do anything elite offensively. But May is really making that second step. The Colts have been playing really well, but Daniel Jones in the last two games has turned the ball over a bunch of times. He's fumbled like six times, too, so he's kind of coming back down to earth. So I'm curious to see if he can get back on the trajectory that he was. And as far as the Broncos go, defense is absolutely elite. I just don't believe in Bo Nix quite yet. I think he's played pretty poorly this season. He had his best game against the Chiefs, but he's going to have to play better for a longer period of time for me to really believe the Broncos are a contender.
Ted, my partner and I have a burger bet on the AFC North. I have been on the Steelers since the offseason. I've not jumped off to this point. He thinks that it's a formality. The Ravens are going to take the division. What do you see the AFC North coming down to?
I think you're going to have to buy that burger because I feel like the Ravens are going to win that division too. I mean, the Steelers' defense has played better recently. Aaron Rodgers is just one of the most risk-adverse quarterbacks in the league. He does not want to get hit. He's throwing really quickly, throwing short. I just don't know if you could win like that unless the defense is just consistently week in, week out elite. And the Ravens have made such a distinct step up since they've gotten healthy. Moving Kyle Hamilton to the box has totally changed that defense. And that offense is kind of getting their footing going. So I feel like the Ravens are eventually going to catch the Steelers. And they've gotten really close really fast, too. I mean, it feels like they were at the bottom of the division a couple of weeks ago. Now they're 5-5 and a game away from Pittsburgh.
One more real quick. Are the Bills bad right now, or are they just bad?
I mean, they're bad because the defense is probably the worst I've ever seen it under the Sean McDermott era. That run defense is atrocious, and there's no answers to fix that this season. They have a good offensive line. I mean, they had a bad showing yesterday against one of the best pass rushers in the league. They have a good offensive line, but they have no weapons on to help out Josh Allen. Dalton Kincaid is their number one. He's been missing games, but he shouldn't be your number one. If they can't run the ball, and they couldn't run the ball yesterday against Houston other than one big James Cook run, they're really going to struggle. And if you can't stop the run, there's just too many ways for them to lose the game. Josh Allen can take over some games, but to ask him to do that kind of heavy lifting is just unrealistic. So this Bills team, they'll win some games just purely on the run game and Josh Allen, but I don't see them really going too far in the playoffs.
Ted, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Ted Wynn there, a senior writer for The Athletic and the Just Win podcast on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about Shador's first NFL start in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Right? Yeah, no. He consistently said it was Shadur.
Yeah. I was explaining, my wife was explaining to me, I say Mazel Tov wrong. It's like Mazel Tov, you know? Like she saw Josh today. I was just in the read talking about how we went down to Bookman and Son, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Josh was telling us some stuff and my wife was like, Mazel Tov. And so we got back in the car and I was like, I think, why did you say it that way? And I wasn't like, you said it wrong. Clearly, yeah. I was like, have I been saying Mazel Tov wrong for like as long as we've known each other? I've been saying it dead wrong, but I've been consistently saying it wrong to the point where I feel like it's fine. People just think you're an idiot at the end of the day.
So how are you saying it?
So it's supposed to be like a almost like a rhymes with love at the back end of it, like a tov type thing, like a mazel tov.
Okay,
that's how it's supposed to be.
I've been
like
a tov?
Mazel tov type thing. Ah. Yeah, way wrong apparently. I've just been like an idiot in front of every Jewish person I've ever known.
I feel like it's only partially wrong. Well, I don't think it's like fully wrong.
Here's the thing. Well, so do you want to be corrected in those moments or no? And so like for myself, I'd rather get it right. I think that's what I'd rather be on the right side of that. I'd rather get it right.
But I think I'd rather get it right earlier.
But Elise was never going to bring it up. I would have been saying Mazel Tov wrong for, I don't know, the next 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, and like she wasn't going to correct me. Ted Wynn, were we ever going to correct him on Shador? Probably not.
No, probably not.
If we start correcting every person that says it wrong, we're just going to be out here. That's a lot of people.
Also, we don't know Ted like that.
No, we don't know Ted like that.
If Ross said it wrong, we'd be like, "What the hell are you doing?"
Well, Ross is also broadcasting the game on Sunday, so he'd have to. We'd be doing him a massive failure.
But if Albert said it wrong, like those guys said, or Aditi said it wrong, like we would, step in and be like, "Come on, what are we doing here?"
Aditi did say it wrong. We didn't say a thing.
Wait, when?
On the broadcast.
Oh, preseason. I meant here. I meant during the show.
In the preseason, she kept saying his name wrong.
Yeah. Well, did she say Shadur?
Yeah. Yeah. And then she came on, and I didn't say anything to her about it.
I completely forgot. Now, that being said, it's wild how Shador is the main event on Sunday, given the fact that Myles Garrett could very well have a 3 or 4 sack day, which will put him on the precipice of the NFL sack record with 6 games to go.
Yeah, so obviously I'm very excited to watch what Shador can do, but there is a part of me that is as excited to watch Myles Garrett, and I think that sounds a little insane. Like it sounds like it doesn't feel right to me in the moment. We've tried to figure out what Myles Garrett and the sack record is, and we've always come to the conclusion this is not the home run record. This is not, you know what I mean? Like this is its own separate thing, and we have to acknowledge it's not nearly as exciting as any of the offensive records could be. But there is a part of me now, as we're going closer and closer to the idea that we're watching history, that I'm just as excited for the defensive side of the ball.
I think that's what's kind of what I think is really cool about this season is there were so many times where you were 2-8 or 1-9 or 1-11 earlier in Browns history, and you were watching just because you watch Browns games. Like between Shador, between Myles Garrett, between Kevin Stefanski trying to keep this thing on the road, those are three gigantic reasons to watch the Browns, as bad as they are offensively, and they are awful. Offensively, to be this late in the season, have this bad a record, and still think, like, hey, these are three things I'm interested in, I think that makes this different than most lost seasons. Like I think right now where we are, this is more interesting from here to the end line than where you were last year.
Or this is way more interesting from here to the end line than, let's say, even the start to right here.
Yeah. No, that's very, very, because you knew, I don't know, because I had some hope that Joe Flacco could maybe rip it a couple times and make that interesting. I don't think anybody saw Joe Flacco being that neutered by Kevin Stefanski in this offense.
It's been white noise for a few weeks now, though.
It's since Dylan's second start. Since the Steelers game, it's been really hard.
I usually like to like take notes during these things and like try to like put things away and do all that. I'm not doing any of that for, it's been like 3 or 4 weeks where I've just kind of been just watching the game and just, because we're not really going to elaborate on too much outside of what we just watched with our eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, because I've watched the offense as intently as you can watch it when it's happening. But in terms of the, oh, I need to go reanalyze this, like the defense, there are times where it's like, man, I want to watch that play again. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, where was the Mark Andrews touchdown? That was a rough play to give up, and I watched it like 7 times back, even though it was a rough play.
Yeah.
I do not find myself with Dylan Gabriel, and it's not just Dylan, it's this offensive line, it's a running game where it is. I don't find myself going back too often and being like, I want to watch that second half again just to see if my eyes... No, your eyes aren't deceiving you. It's that bad. So, it's unwatchable.
All right, but with Miles, though, if he's the undercard in this, and I think he is, but like sacks are tough because sacks are like shooting stars. You know, like they're always... Obviously, they're fun, but they come and they're fleeting, and then you're on to the next play. But I'm at a spot now, and I've always kind of just paid attention to where Miles is because that's just part of how you watch defenses. You start with the two lines, and you kind of make your way out as the play progresses. But I find myself just kind of like when you watch a LeBron game, you're just focused on where LeBron is at all times on the court. That's kind of what I'm doing with Miles right now. I'm watching Miles more than I'm watching anything.
Oh, see, what's interesting is I am probably watching Miles more closely, but that hasn't stopped me from watching Mason and Malik and Isaiah. Like I'm just enjoying, like, it's so funny. I really wish they had just a league average offense, because we'd talk so much mess about this defense. They're so much fun. And even, I mean, you know, Ted had a point about how he watches Devin Bush.
Devin Bush is having like one of the best seasons, not only of his career, but like he's looked outstanding this
and
year.
And each year he's been here, he's been better than the previous year.
But this isn't me trying to dismiss anything that the other guys in the defensive line is doing. It's more just, it used to be when you watched Miles, you'd watch his two or three guys would defend him, and then it would be a struggle at times, but sometimes he'd break through. And this is watching how they attack him, and then relative to what the rest of the defensive line either gets to do, or then how they operate in response to how Miles, the whole play starts with how they attack Miles to begin with, and then you get to watch everyone else as they maneuver.
So it's interesting, and Ted kind of alluded to this. This year, you're seeing something Miles hasn't seen consistently since early in his career. He's getting a lot of one-on-one opportunities. Mm-hmm. And even if it's one-on-one with a chip, that's different than when it's been two-on-one in a chip or three-on-one in a chip.
Right.
Right? Or, hey, this lineman's free because this guy ended up going downfield and now he's got a fourth guy trying to get after Miles. Miles is getting a lot of one-on-ones, and or it's not as simple as, hey, look for the triple team on Miles. And obviously that's because Mason Graham, Malik Collins, Isaiah McGuire are really good. But it's been interesting because you're seeing teams in real time have to come up with a plan at any given moment. And that does make it different. It's different from just being like, wow, did you see Miles overcome that double team right there, that triple team? And I think that makes it different. It looks mm-hmm. different this year, which is another reason why you continue to come back and go, I'm more invested in Miles, whether it's a sack record or the second Defensive Player of the Year award, because the things that are happening around him are more interesting. He's played with good singular defenders before. He's had a season with Jadavian where was very good. Sheldon Clowney, Richardson.
Olivier Vernon.
But in terms of the whole thing around him, I don't think it's ever been the perfect mix of up the pocket pressure, which is huge for defensive ends, and, hey, if you want to go ahead and roll out to the other side, don't worry, we've got McGuire or somebody else to kind of clean you up over there, too.
It's just made the game within the game so much more enjoyable, you know? In a season that has really kind of stunk in a lot of ways, it's made the game within the game so much enjoyable. And so, I don't know, for this weekend, obviously Shador is the main card, but the undercard being Miles is a pretty fun thing.
Yeah, and it's funny. Like, I'll go back to what you were saying. You were watching Miles more intently. Most of the time, it's just been, well, Miles is going to get his, and we'll see. But it's just fun to watch the whole damn unit. And mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting if Shador keeps starting. At what point is there any point where It's just a double card, right? It's no longer just Shador on the mast, and then Miles on the undercard.
As we get closer and closer to him breaking the sack record, that's what I'm curious to find out. How many people enter these games with the idea of like, all right, hey, if I have to go to the bathroom during this game, I'm actually going to do so on offense, not on defense. I'm going to try to make it through the commercial break, but I'm going to do it where I can make sure I see every snap of Miles because I want to see what this history is.
I think this is going to be a great opportunity. I really hope he just has another like 4-sack game. Because the longer, the more amount of the final 6 games we can spend in is this the Sunday that he, I think the more consequential Sundays are going to feel.
Well, so are you worried?
I want that for Browns fans, and I do want that for Miles too.
Yeah, so most pass rushers tend to disappear as the season moves on because it gets colder and they're just not as quick. But like I looked at the numbers with Miles earlier today. Actually, it was earlier yesterday. I've just kind of been hanging on to it, and December is his least productive month and by a wide margin. In the months of September, do you want it by sacks per game or you want total sacks? Which would you prefer?
Sacks per game.
Okay, sacks per game. All right, September, 1.23 sacks per game, okay? So that's a good number, right? Meanwhile, in December, he's at 0.56 sacks per game. Mm. Like, he's twice as effective in September as he has been in December. It is by far his least productive month. In fact, he's very close in the sacks per game category in September as he is in October, as he is in November. It's just December, there's this massive drop-off.
It also helps that the Browns aren't winning a lot of games in that time frame. That's not helping him either. And he's been hurt a couple times. 216-474-0092. If Shador is the main card, is Miles Garrett the undercard? Or do you think it's strike that and reverse it? More on Shador's first start and maybe not the best look in the world. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Right as that initial window opened up where the D1 schools were saying we're going to allow them to gamble on pro sports, and then you saw that happen, and I think there was like a, oh yeah, that's going to hurt baseball. NBA's got a huge scandal on its hands. We don't need one. We're good.
Well, because NCAA for years was part of the places that you'd think the cracks would come from. And so you got to close those cracks up as quickly as you possibly can. I I get it. I'm not sad about it for college athletes in the slightest bit.
Now, as we return to the world of the NBA...
You can wait until you're over 22 and graduated to gamble like a real adult, Nick.
Or over 25 and graduate from college because you played in college football for 8 years.
You're Van Wilder.
Half of college football now is Van Wilder's.
Tyler Shuck.
I know. Doesn't Tyler Shuck have like a kid and a wife?
He's older than Trevor Lawrence.
I know.
I feel like a lot of guys have kids and wives in college football. I mean, a lot of old heads
that
are still playing.
That is weird, though. That is weird when they do the profile on him, and it's like he does has a whole wife, two kids, lives in the burbs.
I like his 40-hour job is going to play quarterback for Louisville.
That's what it basically is. But at this point,
honey, got to clock in, got to go to the old factory.
I mean, I've gone to the extremes, though, too. That's why I'm like, I don't even know that they should make these guys go to school anymore if they don't want to go to school. Just make him employees of the school and just call it a day.
No, I don't like that.
What are we really doing here?
I mean, in fairness, at some point,
they're going to take online classes and get the 3.8 no matter how you do it anyway.
Oh, yeah. I want you to, if you're going to go to school for 8 years, I'd like you to have at least 2 degrees.
I think you should be able to have we call that the Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
As all of a sudden, have you seen every story pop out where not only does he have 2 degrees, he has 2 master's degrees.
Yep.
He spent his summers just doing internships at reputable, like McKinsey type level places. Like it's insanity is what
you know, the rough thing about Mendoza is you watch him and I think I want to see him in brown and orange. And then you listen to him talk about football and you're like, I want to hear this guy as the Browns quarterback. And then you hear him talk about anything else. You're like, what a nerd. Like, what an absolute goof.
He's Ned Flanders. He's Kirk Cousins. Like, he is. But I actually think I might be overcorrecting. By the time we go and do our draft breakdown, depending how Shador ends up and how this whole thing goes, I might course correct too far into the idea of, like, I want the nerdy, smart guy that is the opposite of any Instagram influencer or anything like that. Like, does Mendoza even have an Instagram? I'd be shocked if he even had an Instagram. He seems like the type that would just kind of, or if he does, it's like a family friends account and that's it.
I was going to say somebody runs the account for him because it's profitable and he wants to make some cash.
You want to talk about an Electrolyte Tuesday.
Oh,
Mendoza's running Electrolyte Tuesday. So he's opening up Electrolyte Tuesday bars.
We've already talked about the all short king room, the all nerd, the all electrolyte quarterback room. Fernando Mendoza, Dylan Gabriel. I think Davis Mills would have to be a part of that because that's that's a giraffe that went to Stanford for seven years.
Part of the course correction is the idea that Mendoza's 6'5" and he's a massive human while also being this extremely nerdy, by the book. If coach asked him to jump, he says how high type guy. Mm-hmm. I'm scared of that being the type of guy that I'm going to course correct with, but I might be the type of guy that I course correct
with. But what I like about this is I think Davis Mills is like 6'3". So if you got like a 6'5" quarterback, 6'3", and then Dylan Gabriel, it'll be like three stepbrothers all in line there. You know?
they all
bond over like building their own computers, right?
Oh man, what a nerdy room.
I'd love a quarterback room where Dylan Gabriel's the dumbest guy in the room.
On the side, they're just
the
like...
The supercomputer is just like, hey, who's this dumb?
What would Stefanski... He already used supercomputer as the line. What line do you have for Mendoza, then?
Super-duper computer. Oh, no. I know what it is.
Supercomputer squared.
For Fernando Mendoza, quantum computing power.
There we go.
Right? We're building a super network.
I really hoped you had the info on Mendoza's Instagram for me.
I do. It's
really
Fernando.Mendoza with a zero instead of the O.
Is he a consistent contributor to the Instagram account, or is it one of those things he just has and you can tell is getting a little NIL cash off of?
No, he's posting every few days.
A little bit of a disappointing development then. I really thought this would be the quarterback that doesn't care about Instagram, doesn't care about social media, doesn't care about any of that stuff.
Well, it's like once every 5 days he posts.
He's just so clean. He looks like Andrew Garfield. He does. But like if Andrew Garfield was a gigantic human being, Andrew Garfield's like a normal size fella.
He looks like he should have played lacrosse at Duke.
Okay. All right. You could have picked any other school other than that.
Does that tell you everything you need
to
know?
You could have said lacrosse at North Carolina and we would have been fine.
That's just kind of what he looks like to me. That's a reputable program.
I just have a feeling that... I really, until proven otherwise, this is why Sunday's so big. Until proven otherwise, I think it's going to be Mendoza in Cleveland. And I don't have a feel on it yet. I can't tell you yet. The only read I have on him, one, really fun to watch at Indiana. Good football player. The other one is, what a nerd.
I mean, once he basically snapped the ankles of Urban Meyer in that interview, where all of a sudden he just basically talked nerdy football to him, that was a panty-dropping moment for a lot of the NFL scouts and gurus that do this stuff.
And also Urban Meyer.
Yeah. And that was I didn't realize how influential just like a 30-minute interview could be and just rising up the draft boards for people, but it did it for a lot of people.
Yeah, it did it for me too. I don't know, man. I'm just so bummed about. I just wish there was a quarterback, like, because we're just going to be stuck in this perpetual thing for the next 7 weeks of, even if you win on Sunday, did you lose? Like, I know that's how a lot of people are going to take this game, and I'm like, gosh, mm-hmm. I just want to win. And I know that if that means in April I'm cursing because we didn't get Fernando Mendoza, then I'm cursing because we didn't get Fernando Mendoza.
I mean, he talks like Stefanski. Like, he could be Stefanski's kid.
I think that's the thing that's the other part
of here.
He talks
like Stefanski.
Is that it's like these nerds have been waiting for this nerd the whole time, right? We've given them meathead quarterbacks. We've given them problematic quarterbacks off the field. We've never given them one of their own. Like, I imagine when Stefanski and Barry draft Fernando Mendoza, they give us the old gobble gobble one of us from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, their last great chance is going to be with basically it's the Spider-Man meme is all this is.
The kind of quarterback they can take home to mom. It's all they've been waiting for.
Mm.
Baker, not house trained. Deshaun, problematic for other reasons. But Fernando, even fun to say, Fernando.
I've tripped up on it a couple times already.
The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, now streaming, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.